All right. Good morning, everyone. I'll wait for the conversations to die down here. Anyway, all right, let's open in a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for this day that we can come and study your word. We thank you for the message this morning. We pray that you'll be with us as we consider sheep again and sheep and goats and the differences in your word. We ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so I want to talk a little bit today about goats. Like our limited knowledge of sheep, our lack of understanding of goats can also hinder us in fully appreciating the metaphor of goats in the Bible. Now, God uses goats to symbolize evil in numerous instances in the Bible. Sorry for those of you goat lovers out there. And in Zechariah 10:3, for example, God says he will punish the goats. But I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 25, first of all. Toward the end of that chapter, actually the end of the chapter, 31, starting in verse 31. So this is Matthew 25, verses 31 to 46 are about coming judgment. And it says, "But when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne, and all the nations will be gathered before him. And he will separate them from one another, as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep on his right and the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me.' Then the righteous will answer him, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?' And the king will answer and say to them, 'Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me.' Then he will also say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me.' Then they themselves also will answer, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you?' Then he will answer them, saying, 'Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me.' And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." So we have this distinction between sheep and goats. This is obviously talking about a future judgment of the nations by Christ when he returns. Now, sheep and goats, I hate teachers who read their slides to you, so I'm going to let you read some of these. But sheep and goats have certain similarities, which you can read there. But they also have important differences. The easiest way, apparently, to determine whether a given animal is a sheep or a goat is whether its tail points up or down. And there are other differences here. Among the most important, there will be no quiz later, but lambs, rams, and ewes versus kids, bucks, and does. Although sheep have wool and goats have hair, there are some breeds of goat that the hair is actually harvested, mohair and cashmere being a couple of examples. But the most important difference is on this next slide with a picture I just love. The main difference is the shepherd leads the sheep while goats lead a goat herd. Unlike sheep, and we've talked a lot about sheep over the past several weeks, who have a very strong flocking instinct, they're very gregarious. Goats are more independent, they're more headstrong, they're more curious, they're more mischievous. You might even say they're devious, they're contrary, impulsive, unpredictable. But at the end of the day, goats are never content with what they have. They're therefore not very good followers. Now, it is true that sheep stray. We know that from God's Word. We know that from earlier studies. Sheep stray. But goats tend to willfully go their own way. There's a bit of a difference here. Goats are more intent. Sheep might become interested in the grass and get off where they don't want to be or shouldn't be or whatever. But it's not as willful as goats. And a strayed sheep is usually grateful to be rescued by a shepherd. We talked about the example of cast sheep and shepherds coming and turning them back over and getting them on their feet again and so forth. But a willful goat confronted by a goat herd might just continue going on its own way. So what would we call a Christian who wants to take over, has trouble functioning in a group, or doesn't want to be led? Well, we could call them a goat. The question to ask ourselves, though, on a more serious level is, do we display goat-like traits? Do we have difficulty functioning in a group? Do we not like to be led and so forth? And if so, we need to repent of those and try to be more like sheep. Now, we have to be a bit careful about this metaphor. As with all metaphors, we can take it too far. Goats were acceptable sacrifices. If you look at Leviticus chapters 4, 5, and 16, if you look at Numbers chapter 7, 28, and 29, you'll see goats as an acceptable sacrifice. So it's not as though every goat is, evil or whatever, and you probably remember the story of the scapegoat in Leviticus. So goats were often and perfectly acceptable sacrifice for a sin offering. And I think this is kind of interesting. We mentioned the other day that wool sometimes represents sin and that a priest's garment couldn't have any wool in it. They were made of linen. But goat's hair was among the materials for the tent of meeting, but not wool. So, along with porpoise skins and other things. So I think that's interesting to think about, and we have to be careful, again, not taking these metaphors too far. Now, I've mentioned a few times the idea of a Judas sheep or a Judas goat. And I want to show you how they operate and some other interesting things about processing sheep. Now, I'm not going to get into the really disgusting part, so don't worry about that. But I think this video is really interesting for several reasons, in part by the host. The host is Dr. Temple Grandin. She received her PhD in animal behavior from the University of Illinois. And she's autistic.
My name is Temple Grandin. I am a professor of animal science at Colorado State University. And today we are going to take a tour of a lamb processing plant. In a lamb processing plant, you can have really young lambs, 8 to 10 months old. You can also have older sheep that's called mutton. You've probably seen a lot of bad videos online. And today we're going to just show you normal processing in a lamb plant done correctly. We're going to start out unloading the sheep from this trailer. The yards can go all the way through the entire process until the lambs go through the chore and sent out to the grocery store.
We're not going that far.
There are four more decks of sheep on this trailer. One of the unique things about sheep is they use specially trained lead animals.
So these are Judas sheep.
Sheep have intense following behavior to follow the leader. And using trained lead animals is a really good low-stress way to move the animals. These are the trained leader sheep. They're just waiting now for the truck to start unloading.
Now this is them going in.
And these other leaders for taking the animals through the yard and up into the plant. Calm, quiet, yeah, animal.
Those are the traders going in.
Improve animal welfare, and you're going to have better quality meat. Animals that get agitated the last few minutes prior to stunning can have tougher meat. Sheep have a very strong instinct to follow. That instinct is much stronger than it is in cattle and pigs. And when you're handling sheep at the processing plant, you can use that instinct. Trained leader animals are often used, and the other sheep are going to follow them. They've got a very good non-slip floor here at this plant. I can't emphasize enough the importance of non-slip flooring, and they've done a good job on it. Now, there's a tendency for sheep to want to run, and this is one of the reasons why during unloading, the sheep were sometimes crowded into the pens to prevent them from running really fast through the yards. Most of the time in handling sheep, you do not need to use a driving aid. Lots of times they will just follow really nicely without them. But quite often, if you do need a driving aid, then oftentimes just a little plastic bag like this is used to guide the animals. There are other people that will use a rattle paddle. Electric prods are almost never used on sheep because thick wool is an insulator.
I hadn't thought about that.
After the landing,
you can't stun them because they're wearing a coat.
And that holding pen has water. That has to be available at all times. That's a requirement of the Humane Slaughter Act. If they're held over 24 hours, they have to have feed. This is a group of animals that was brought in last night. You can see that they're resting. And I think it's very obvious here that these sheep don't know they're going to get slaughtered. If they were not going to get slaughtered, they wouldn't be chewing their cud. Chewing their cud is a behavior they do when they're relaxed. On this chute leading up to the stunner, this outer side here is solid so the sheep don't see people walking by the doorway. It also has shields so that the sheep don't see the person. Now once you get a line of sheep going, they will follow. Sheep are great followers. Ride to the stunner in a B conveyor restrainer. This plant uses electrical stunning, head-to-back stunning. They have to wet it first to make good electrical conductivity. Electrical stunning will cause instantaneous unconsciousness by passing a current through the brain. And when you pass a current through the brain, it causes a Brown-Mall epileptic seizure. And then the back electrode simultaneously stops the heart. When electrical stunning is done correctly, it causes instantaneous unconsciousness.
Oh, it gets worse, but I'm not showing you that part.
We audit placement of the electrical stunner to make sure the current will go through the brain. Sheep and other livestock can see depth when they put their head down. So when
depth
on,
is what she said.
Trainer,
depth.
This piece of board has been put here so the animal does not see that there's a steep drop-off. If they see the visual cliff effect, they won't go in. And when they didn't have this piece of board sitting here, it was hard to get the sheep into the restrainer. This is a good example of how you can use behavior in handling animals. If you take this out, then they see the drop off and they won't go in.
Okay. I'll leave out the rest of it. If you want to watch it, you can look it up online. Okay. Now, I'm going to move right to our breed of the week. The Navajo Churro breed of domestic sheep originated with the Spanish Chura sheep. And like many Americans, we apparently messed up the word, and so now it's Churro. Anyway, these Chura sheep were obtained by the Navajo, Hopi, and other Native American nations around the 16th century. The breed is known for its hardiness and adaptability to extremes of climate, and its wool has both a protective overcoat or top coat and a soft undercoat. And like the Jacob breed we talked about a couple of weeks ago, the Navajo Churro is polycerate, meaning that rams can have 2, 4, or 6 horns. Navajo Churros come in a variety of colors, including reds, browns, blacks, whites, and mixes. So that is a interesting conglomeration of Navajo Churro sheep, showing the variety of colors and horns and so forth and so on. Okay, now, what class wouldn't be be complete without a field trip? So today we're going to have a field trip. Now, it's not a very long field trip. We're going to go out the door. But I would like you to, well, first of all, let me introduce you to the person that's going to be talking to you, and that's Ed Meese. He's sitting over here in the back. Mr. Meese has been raising sheep for over 60 years. Is that correct? Okay. And the reason I know him is his wife taught Rachel and Joseph fourth grade in Loamy. And so we have some sheep for you to visit with today. And if I could ask maybe a couple of the guys, younger guys or whatever, to grab a chair. We got some folks who probably are going to need to sit. But the rest of the class is going to be out there. If you don't want to go, then this is the shortest Sunday school class you've had in quite a while.